Breakfast with Crossy. Joining me now is Lachlan Bryan, him and his band. They have a new album coming, pre-orders today, and a new song called Death Wish Country. Good morning, Lachlan. How are you, mate?
I'm really good, thanks. How are you, Crossy?
Not too bad, you know, keeping busy. You guys just came out of a snap lockdown down in Victoria. I mean, you're just used to it now, I imagine.
Yes, we are. And I was thinking this time around, it was only 5 days, and I think it was more like a holiday than a lockdown. It just gave everyone a chance to have a deep breath and catch up on a few things, but pretty glad that it didn't stretch on any longer.
Yeah. If your garden doesn't look great now, then you might as well just give up. You know, just not bother with it anymore.
I don't know if that's a personal dig that you're having everywhere, Crossy, but I'm not much of a gardener.
just buy that fake grass and she'll be right.
Yeah, putting green.
To be fair. Well, yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's a practical purchase. but, mate, live album. We don't see many Aussie artists do the live album.
No, and to be honest, it came about really in a way because we've had a year of not playing live, and it seems like the strangest time ever to record a live album, but we had recorded this on a tour that we did in 2018 and 2019. We kind of shelved it, and we thought, you know, we've got new music, we've got things to focus on in the studio and all that kind of thing, And then during the middle of the second lockdown here in Melbourne, we thought, let's dig out those tapes and have a listen. I say tapes, but they were computer files, of course. And have a listen to those live recordings. And we started listening and we thought, oh, this is pretty good. And not only that, I think it got us excited again, or nostalgic, I guess, for playing live, because we hadn't been in front of an audience for, at that stage, you know, 6 months. Now we're talking about a year. So we listened and we thought, you know what, let's mix this. Let's see how good it can come up. And what it eventually became is effectively greatest hits. That's why we've called it the nearest misses, because we've not really had hits. But we listened to it and we thought, you know, we've been a band for 10 years now, and the set list that we're able to come together, that we were able to put together from these live recordings, felt like a kind of best of, and we thought, let's put this out. The guys at Social Family were really enthusiastic about it, which was fantastic. That makes you feel good when the record label actually listened to it and go, actually, that sounds pretty good, guys, because, you know, let's face it, for many of us musicians, and I know you have musicians listening, sometimes when you hear yourself back, if it's a gig recording that someone's done, sometimes it's not quite as magic as thought it was. But in this case, we were really, really happy and proud to put these songs out for people to listen to.
Is the process, and how different is the process between putting together a live album to putting together a more recorded studio album?
Yeah, it's really different, and you know, and we've never done it before. But there's sort of strengths and weaknesses to it. With a live album, you're stuck with whatever you did on the day. You know, so, I mean, we did have a few recordings to choose from, like a few different nights, but basically in a studio album, you can, if you want to have 17 guitars on there, you can have 17 guitars on there. If you want to have all sorts of keyboard parts and extra harmonies, you can do it. On a live album, it's just what you were able to present with the band, and in our case, a five-piece band on the night. So that's really different. And those limitations are kind of good when it comes to mixing it, because you go, all right, this is what we did, and we don't want to fake anything. We don't want to like add things or anything. We've just got to make a call and go, how do we feel about that? And in a way, that was kind of liberating, because it you know, listening to it back, when you listen to a studio record back, you're always wondering what else you could have done. But listening to this back, you go, no, that's what we did, and we're proud of it. So it's quite a different experience, and, you know, we're actually making a studio album at the minute as well, so we had the two experiences side by side, and, you know, I'm glad we were doing them both, because I think that we learned things about them both from doing the other one.
And the song that you put out with it today is Death Wish Country. Why that particular song? I know it's from 2013.
Yeah, it's from Black Coffee, which came out 2013, 2014. It was a song, you know, a little bit of trivia. We were actually going to call that album Death Wish Country. It was going to be the title track. And then we ended up getting talked into the much less sinister sounding black coffee, which was probably a good decision. You know,
I don't know.
Tracy, my manager at the time, said, "You know what? Let's had a lot." Tracy and I had both been going through a time where we'd had a lot of troubling stuff happen in our own lives, and Tracy was like, "You know what? Call it something more positive." And we did, and black coffee did go very well for us. But in, you know, a parallel universe, we would have called it Death Wish Country. I even had the artwork picked out for that. So, I'm glad that song is finally getting to go front and centre.
Maybe it's for the re-release Greatest Hits recorded version in 10 years' time.
Maybe, in another 10 years. Yeah, we'll be 20 years as a band then. I hope we're still going.
Yeah, indeed. Well, mate, good luck. Pre-orders are out now for pre-orders Nearest now. Misses. And hopefully we'll see you on the road soon.
We will be on the road soon. We're very excited about it. So I can't wait to get out and play these songs again and a bunch of new ones.
Breakfast with Crossy every weekday morning from 6 a.m. on Kicks.